And thank you so much for everybody who's already contributed. And for those who haven't but want to, right now is the time, because you're running out of time, to help us meet that $80,000 goal. So thank you so much to everyone who believes in community radio. And thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Hello, and welcome back to Rural Roots Rising by the Rural Organizing Project. If this is your first time listening, Rural Roots Rising is a monthly radio show and podcast created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. My name is Hannah Harrod, and I'm an organizer with the Rural Organizing Project. You may be listening to this episode via podcast or by tuning into a station. Either way, the power of radio goes back decades, and for so many of us, it's been felt for generations. I know for me, I can still picture working with my dad, picking up hay bales and listening to local talk shows in the background on the farm truck radio, or circling up with my siblings on the living room rug for a weekly story program in the evenings. In today's episode, Community Radio, Tune In, Speak Out, we'll talk with four local media creators about how public radio is literally a life-saving source of information that keeps communities connected and taking action together.
When you are in a place that the Willamette Valley, and you turn the radio on and you listen somebody speaking in your own language, or you are listening your own music, oh wow, that's something unbelievable. It gives you the sense that you are important, that you are someone, and someone over there is caring about you.
We first began Rural Roots Rising after dozens of conversations and requests from folks in the ROP network. Our member groups were concerned that more and more of our local media was being bought up and consolidated by corporations. In rural areas especially, we know that creating and supporting local public media is essential to community survival, from responding to severe storms to helping mobilize neighbors after disaster strikes. The importance of local media has never been more clear than during this global pandemic. Radio and other local media that works for the good of all our neighbors fosters the sense of belonging, resilience, and connection that is necessary for weathering the storms we face, both literally and figuratively. But I'll let our friends tell you more about that.
We went on the air April 17th, 1983, so we just celebrated our 37th birthday.
Carol Newman has lived in the unincorporated village of Brownsmead, Oregon for 46 years, fostering culture and connection through dance, music, and art. Carol helped build KMUN, Coast Community Radio, from the ground up. It was a natural fit for her to host the folk music and local arts shows that have now been fixtures of the station for decades.
And it is a vital part of this community in so many different ways. It's the only local public radio station, community radio station in the area. We do have the Oregon station has a repeater here. In other words, it comes from Portland. They don't have any feet on the ground or microphones on the ground here. So we're the only ones of public radio doing local.
Radio is often the only form of media accessible when the power goes down, a lesson learned quickly by Coast Community Radio in 2007.
The role of the radio station in emergencies has become really clear. And in fact, in 2007, when there was a huge storm, November, December, and it took out electricity and telephones and everything. For where I live, we were out for 6 days with nothing, no way to communicate. And all the local stations were off the air except us. And that's because we actually had filled our tank, our generator tank, unlike the commercial local stations, which had been given tanks and generators years before for just such an occasion, but they never needed it, so they didn't update it. And we did, and so we were the, so the mayor came, the police came, the fire came, they all came to our station to broadcast. And it made everybody, us as well as the community, aware of how important this is. So our emergency mechanisms have been, we're now, we have a ham amateur radio station, we have a center in the station, so we can use that, and it's happening again now.
Coast Community Radio, like many stations, has implemented strict social distancing guidelines while still managing to keep content on the air. Many of the volunteer show hosts are able to record remotely and send in their shows. Coast Community Radio is a key source of information about COVID-19, both through the programs they air that speak to the state of the pandemic and public health, but also through interviews with local elected officials and community members as part of the emergency response practices that have continued since the storm. Like almost all public stations, Coast Community Radio is supported by donations. After the storm, they found an innovative way to return the favor.
One of the thank you gifts that we have given for contributions has been a wind-up radio. So this is a radio that you can play it with batteries, but you can also play it by winding it. So when the electricity goes out, and when the phones go out, and when you have no way of communicating, you can wind up that radio and you can still hear what's going on. Now, you could turn it to other stations, of course, but why would you do that if if you can listen to what's going on in your very own community? And that's what we did in 2007. As a matter of fact, right now, because the fellow who at that time was reporting the news, he was in the station in the air room when a tree fell on the station. We were on the air and stayed on the air. He stayed on the air. Crazy, he should have run the hell out of that. He stayed on the air, and obviously that caused some problems and had to be fixed. But in the meantime, people all over this area, we got awards for what we did by staying on the air, not just for the tree, but during this whole crisis when all the 911 wasn't working even. So the ham radio was the only thing working. And that after that, a lot of us, including myself, took the training and became ham radio operators. We let our listeners know this is the local station doing it. And we report on what's going on here. So again, feet on the ground, brains on the ground, hearts on the ground, hearts in the community. If we can do it, anybody can do it, but only with community support. And I mean community. So that's why I feel it's a two-way street here. And I think local people understand and feel it even more strongly when there's a crisis.
Ana Elisa Wilson is an organizer with Oregon Rural Action. She has been instrumental in getting out public service announcements to the Guatemalan community in northeastern Oregon. She grew up in Sonora, Mexico, and recalls radio as a central part of her childhood.
And I remember my abuela, mi abuelo, you know, my grandma and my grandpa, and also my mom, my dad, you know, they like to hear the radio news locally, the state, the, for the nation, you know, and those times you can think a lot of 40 years ago, you know, 45 years ago, we got a television. I think it was white and black, but not too much information, but for the television news, you know, and usually was the radio. I remember my Nana, when my Nana was, you know, having to make a flour tortillas, the fresh refried beans, she say, Ana, please, I would like to listen to the news in the morning. The music, you know, the traditional music. Okay, I'm going to turn it on, you know, the turn it on. The radio station, what do you like? And you know what? But the radio was part of my culture, you know, since too many years ago.
Before moving to the U.S., Ana worked in radio and as a writer for the local news, among other work aimed at serving her community. Now Ana hosts public health workshops for agricultural workers in the fields. The community knew and trusted Ana's voice. So when COVID-19 hit, she worked with her friend Jose Garcia to use radio as a platform to respond to the crisis. Many of rural Oregon's recently arrived refugees are originally from indigenous communities in Guatemala. MOM is not a written language, so distributing written resources isn't possible, which makes radio one of the only ways to get the word out. Now, beyond Umatilla and Morrow counties, Ana's friends in Mexico, Italy, and Japan also tune in.
But it was so important, you know what, because some of the Guatemala workers, they like to hear the radio, you know, and when they're going to hear, you know, that somebody's speaking in MOM, oh my goodness, the impact was so amazing, because they feel, you know, if somebody is looking for me, you know, I'm very important, and I'm going to get that information in my own language. And Miguel, he's very recognized leader, you know, and everybody knows Miguel.
Miguel Angel Ramirez, who Ana just referenced, is a trusted community leader who goes on the air to give regular reports on prevention and care during COVID-19 in the MOM language.
They are losing the job, they are losing the houses, and they are looking for the families. And the families were established, and you know, in Umatilla, in Hermiston, in Borman, and the people that are not going to say, don't come, because they are family. And this is another huge problem that we are having right now. You can find two, three families living in a small place, in a small houses, or maybe in an apartment, you know, and then can maintain the social distancing as well, you know, the recommendation as well. It's too hard to maintain, because they want to stay together. They want to support, you know, the family and friends, but at the same times, you know, they need to do something. And this is what we create, you know, the Miguel. I tell them something that is going to be important for them and safety, and a good recommendation to stay healthy, you know, and they need to know in their own language. And this is why we try to do it.
Beyond sharing vital information in a crisis, local radio that reflects our families and our cultures helps to foster that sense of, this is my place, I belong here.
This is a new world. three languages, and we have to maintain in communication. This is when I say, okay, we have to improve. We have to improve the system that we can organize, and we have to improve and do different strategies to get more communication with Guatemala community.
¿Qué tal, amigos? Les saluda Arturo Sarmiento y les invito para que lunes y viernes.
I spoke with Arturo Sarmiento, station manager for Radio Poder, a few weeks ago in his newly created home studio. Radio Poder has moved entirely remote during COVID-19. It has its challenges, like interviewing elected officials about the pandemic from a closet, but also its perks, like his new studio assistants, his two adorable pugs. For Arturo, his love of radio goes way back.
In my middle school in Mexico, there was a poetry contest. I decided to participate. I never knew that one of the jurors was an actual professional announcer. And he offered to the winner of this contest, I was 12 years old, go to his radio show and share with the audience this poem. So I won. I went to the radio station, I did my poem, and right there, that day, at that time, I knew radio was going to be my life. And I grew up with that passion.
Radio Poder, or KTUP 98.3 FM, was created by PICUN, Oregon's Tree Planters and Farm Workers Union. On November 20th, 2008, the 96th anniversary of the Mexican Revolution, PICUN fulfilled a decades-old dream and months of intensive organizing and construction, and launched their low-power radio station, reaching 300 square miles around Woodburn. Their volunteer-driven programming quickly attracted a large and loyal listenership in the Latinx community. 11 years later, PICUN started their high-power station, Radio Poder. Many of the voices featured on KTUP are voices never heard on commercial Spanish language radio or by a mass audience, including young people, workers, community organizers, and indigenous people speaking in their own languages.
Bienvenidos a la Hora de la Voz del Pueblo, programa de información sobre inmigración, política, educación y salud.
The radio was a very great tool to communicate messages, information, but actually entertainment. A lot of farm workers, a lot of campesinos from the rural areas, you know, they wanted to be connected with their own places, and they start listening their music in Radio Movimiento, Mexican music, but not the commercial Mexican music, you know, more traditional music, more local music from different places. Then we add programming in their own languages, like Mixteco, like Purépecha. So all these people start feeling Radio Movimiento as a really their home, where they could, what they wanted to listen. They got information about immigration, about health, about labor rights, about education, about many things. And we provide this information on their own language, Spanish and indigenous languages.
Radio often reflects our community back to us and makes it clear whether or not we're included in that image. In times of great struggle, radio is not just the news or the announcement of the next gathering. It's also a song, a memory, a conversation about home. Through hearing each other's voices, we connect to people in a way that energizes and informs the heart and not just the mind. And this too is survival.
As an immigrant, you know that when you make the decision to move from your hometown for your home, for your own country, you know that you're gonna lose a lot and you're gonna miss a lot. So when you are in a place that the Willamette Valley and you turn the radio on and you listen somebody speaking in your own language, or you are listening your own music, oh wow, that's something unbelievable. And it gives you the sense that you are important. that you are someone and someone over there is caring about you. We have a show, it's called La Hora Mixteca, and this show is produced by Radio Bilingüe in California, so we are affiliated to Radio Bilingüe. So on Sundays at noon, from noon to two, you turn your radio and you can talk with the hosts of Radio Bilingüe from the Willamette Valley. But actually, there is another connection that Radio Bilingüe makes at the same time, which is to Oaxaca, Mexico, another radio station in Oaxaca, La Voz Mixteca. So you have opportunity if you are from Oaxaca to call to Radio Bilingüe, and at the same time in Mexico, probably your friend, your family, your compadre, your parents, your grandma, your grandpa are going to listen to you through the radio. Okay? And this is in Mixteco. This is not in Spanish. This is in Mixteco. So, you know, just think about what means for the audience having this opportunity. That's when we are talking about Mixteco. We have another show which is in Purépecha. It's a language from Michoacán, Mexico, another Pacific state, Mexican Pacific Coast state. The show we have here in Radio Poder, La Hora Michoacana, is the only show outside of Michoacán that is produced in Purépecha. A lot of people in Mexico, particularly in Michoacán, listen to our show because they don't have a Purépecha show on their own place. Like right now, that the crisis about COVID-19. So we have to inform people for keeping yourself healthy, keeping your family healthy, keeping the community healthy, you know. Second, we have to talk with them about resources available for the community. In the bottom, we all have exactly in the inside, you know, the same, you know, feelings, emotions. That's the most important part to me. And I think our volunteers is what they have, you know, this love for what, for who they are, for what they do, but the most important thing, not just the love, but the pride to show. But the most important part here is when you show who you are, you don't do this like this arrogant way or just trying to, you know, put yourself apart, but trying to be part of the whole thing.
Connie Saldana is a longtime activist in Jackson County, where she lives with her grandson and pet birds. Connie helped start the local Multicultural Association and is host of the show Age of Adventure, The Positive Side to Growing Old, a topic that is close to her heart and her work with elders and people with disabilities.
And if I were to tell you about my life, about 50% of it would probably be taken up with the radio. When you're working with a lot of volunteers and there's a lot of work to do and some aren't very reliable, you end up doing a lot of work. But it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's so necessary in this time in the universe.
Like all public stations, KSKQ Community Radio is a story of tenacity. They almost lost their construction permit while dealing with a corporate station in town, and there are stories of hauling propane up to the tower in the snow to keep the station on the air.
We call our station the little station that could.
For Connie and the crew at KSKQ, radio is more than just a source of community information in crisis. It is a publicly owned good with many benefits.
Our antenna is on top of a retired fire lookout tower. And we've just been going full speed ever since. We do everything. We're all volunteer. We do everything by hand. We dug through solid rock with jackhammers just to put in the electricity for that tower up on the mountain. All community radio stations have some sort of really extreme story in the background, because there are a lot of obstacles that would try to keep you from having a radio station. Because one thing you see is a lot of people that work in radio, they have a very soft spot for community radio. Because it's not all, well, first of all, obviously it's not corporate, but there are people in that station all day long. It's not just a computer with one guy who, you know, makes sure the temperature's right in the room. So somehow we managed to get around the obstacles. But we take our role very seriously as media. Well, everything is so partisan right now that everybody's got something to gain by making up something. And so, you know, you really have to go to people who are doing the research on their own. But it's so key. I mean, this world is just, you know, in the hands of people that have different values than we do. Let's put it that way. And unless we keep on top of that, and unless we have the information available for activists so that they can have their rallies or boycotts or the things that actually do make a difference, we just have to keep getting that message. The messages, there are many out there, but just the whole concept of global warming, it is so incredibly important. And it's such a concern for younger people, and yet we still have a portion of the media that's in denial about it. That's why we have to keep looking for the messages that will enable our survival, really, at this point. In some essence, it's about the survival of humanity. So there's the issue of making sure all the voices are heard, making sure that people and organizations that would not have access to the airwaves, that they have it. And incidentally, we keep reminding people that the airwaves are considered a public good. That's why you don't pay money for your federal communications license. It's public good.
Radio is a public good. Means more than just keeping radio waves open. It means making sure that those waves are filled with stories that truly speak to the wide diversity of people who call the region home. That is precisely the reason we started this podcast, to make sure our stories are told in our own voices. Every episode, we close with a call asking listeners to send powerful organizing stories. Do you want to help us share about rural organizing stories, big and small, from across Oregon? Get in touch with us. Ask your local radio station to play Rural Roots Rising and donate to sustain this project at ruralrootsrising.org. If you feel inspired by this episode to work on community media, like local radio and newspapers, or community response to emergencies, and want to connect with others in rural Oregon, email us at office@rop.org. You have been listening to Community Radio. Tune in, speak out, the 7th episode of Rural Roots Rising by the Rural Organizing Project. This monthly radio show and podcast is created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. Do you have comments, questions, or reactions to what you just heard? Tell us what you think at info@ruralrootsrising.org. We featured music from The Road Sodas and Truvai. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project, a network of over 65 autonomous member groups who are committed to advancing human dignity and democracy across rural Oregon. To learn more about the Rural Organizing Project, go to rop.org. If you liked what you heard today, you can find more episodes at ruralrootsrising.org. Please follow Rural Roots Rising on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
I'm Doug McVeigh. KBOO's not holding its annual spring pledge drive this month, yet we still need your support, so please go to the KBOO website right now at kboo.fm, click on the donate button, and make your pledge. KBOO is a vital part of your life and of the community, amplifying the voices of people who are often underrepresented. KBOO informs, educates, and entertains. Your support makes all that possible. Please go to kboo.fm, click on the Donate Now button, and make your pledge. And thanks for your support. Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. On this installment of Free Culture Radio, a conversation with the American hemp farmer, Doug Fine. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society,